Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. On Friday, August 9th, a.k.a. tomorrow, banjo player and composer Allison Brown will play the Town Crier Cafe in Beacon, New York. The concert is in part a celebration of the re-release of Brown's Grammy-nominated 1990 debut album, Simple Pleasures. Allison Brown is the co-founder of the roots music label Compass Records Group, which will release the reissue of Simple Pleasures on streaming platforms and in other music formats, including its first vinyl pressing. Over the course of her career, the Grammy Award winner's appreciation for and adroitness with her instrument has helped her rise to the top of her field, and she's highly sought after as a collaborator across musical genres. Brown currently serves on the board of the Nashville chapter of the Recording Academy, on the adjunct faculty of Vanderbilt's Blair School of Music, and is co-chair of the Steve Martin Banjo Prize. She'll also be back in the region this September for her customary appearances at the Fresh Grass Festival at Mass Mocha in North Adams, Massachusetts. But first, she will play the Town Crier Cafe in Beacon, New York tomorrow night, and she joins us now. Allison Brown, welcome to the Roundtable. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
This very week, this coming Friday, your record label is re-releasing your 1990 debut album after a lot of years. So you went back and remastered it and are releasing some demos. What is it like to be on the precipice of this release? And what was it like for you to go back and spend time with those recordings?
Well, when you put it that way, it really made me realize how long ago that record was. I mean, it was such a different time and place in 1990. I just left my job as an investment banker and was, you know, wanting to find out if I actually could be a musician. And that record really grew out of that personal quest, really. And it was kind of like finding a time capsule to dig back into those tracks. Interesting, because we made that record at David Grisman's studio in Marin, California, mm-hmm. and he just purchased the equipment from Arch Studios in Berkeley, which is a really famous studio in Berkeley. And it was the second record that he made in his new studio, and he produced the record. So that was just that alone was incredible, getting to work with someone who's such a musical hero. But then, you know, to have his help and vision in curating the music and turning it into a record was really transformational for me, because it was validation that I really needed to kind of continue on the path of my musical pursuit. So it was huge. And then listening to the music, I was really surprised how much of a footprint that it really created for everything I've done since.
Can you expand on that? What could you hear or identify in the songwriting and playing that you can tell you're still drawing on or using or have grown with?
Well, I love bluegrass music. That's what I came up playing as a banjo player, three-finger style, five-string banjo player. That's usually the starting point for most of us. But I've always enjoyed pushing the envelope, and I like taking the banjo into, you know, Latin music or Celtic grooves or New Age grooves or whatever, just exploring where you can take bluegrass-rooted banjo playing. And that was obviously something I was interested in even, you know, way back then when I was working on Simple Pleasures. And just to hear that, like, you know, dabbling with, you know, like Latin ideas with a tune like Mambo Banjo. More of a New Age kind of approach with From the Coast. Thank you. which New Age was a thing then and maybe isn't so much anymore. But, you know, like even like, you know, daytime TV, which sort of has like a, I don't know, like a swing, early, you know, 50s, maybe jazz sort of feel to it. So all those elements were there, and the flute was very present. And that's something that's been very much a part of our live sound for the last 5 years. We've got an amazing flute player in the band, John Ragusa, who will be with us at the Town Crier when we play there on Friday night.
You have just mentioned being inspired by other types of music and creating the music that you play. And the album On Banjo that you released last year is very much follows in that vein and includes a Brazilian choro that you wrote to play with Anat Cohen, classically influenced pieces to play with the guitarist Sharon Isbin and with the Kronos Quartet, and other styles, other types of music. How do you manage what you listen to? How do you spend time with music? How do you discover new music so that you can keep listening to different types and growing and expanding in what you write and record?
Yeah, that is a great, great question, Sarah. Well, we have so many amazing discovery tools around us now that we didn't have like in the 1990s, which is like, if you say, hey, have you ever heard this great, you know, choro by so-and-so, then I can pull up my phone and hear it immediately. So a lot of it comes from just, you know, talking to other musicians and asking them what they listen to. And I've got a great resource with the guys in our band because they don't come out of bluegrass music like I do, and they're inspired by all different kinds of things. So I get lots and lots of suggestions from our piano player and our flute player too. And then, you know, maybe one of the advantages of being a record label owner is that I'm always listening to other people's projects, you know, new music that we're putting out. A lot of it tends to be, you know, singer-songwriter oriented stuff, you know, vocal music. Like we've got a new record coming from Mindy Smith. She's an amazing Americana artist. She's been at it for quite a number of years. Her debut album was quite a sensation, maybe came out 25 years ago or so. But she's an amazing singer, a little reminiscent of Alison Krauss in her vocal quality, a beautiful writer. And this is her first record in 12 years. So we're really excited about that. And I've always really loved vocal music, even though I'm an instrumentalist. I think that my approach to instrumental music is more like a vocalist than like a big, like improv jazz kind of guy might be, you know, tends to be very song form oriented. So I think a lot of the singer-songwriters that we have on the label have informed what I do too.
Our guest is Allison Brown. She's playing the Town Crier Cafe in Beacon, New York tomorrow night, the same day that the special re-release of her debut album, Simple Pleasures, comes out from Compass Records. Jumping maybe inartfully back to the Simple Pleasures re-release, it was released by Vanguard in 1990, so this is kind of like a Simple Pleasures Allison's version.
Yes. Well, the other part of that was, I mean, the record was made in 1990 in true indie record fashion, so recorded at David's studio to an 8-track tape, and the way we worked was to do multiple takes of each tune, and then to splice the takes together. That was like David's approach. And like we might do that in the computer now, back then it was all done by hand, like literally with a razor blade and tape. Like we didn't really get to dig into the tracks and really listen to what everybody was doing the same way you can now with Pro Tools, which is how we're used to working most of the time. And so as a result, there was a lot of stuff that I hadn't really been able to dig into and, you know, appreciate. So it was fun to remix the tracks. It was fun to bring them up to the sonic standards of 2024 and in a way take ownership of that music again. I wasn't sure how much of a whinge factor there would be, honestly, like listening to some of the performances, but she found it to be quite the other way around. Thought, well, I felt that it held up pretty well.
That's great. Yeah, you don't want to go back and feel like, oh no, I was not ready to put out an album in 1990. But of course
Exactly.
you were. Can you hear in the songwriting and playing ways that you have changed or matured when you listen back to it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think from a sonic point of view, that maybe is the thing I noticed the most. Like the way we approach the sound of the banjo is really different than it was back in 1990, because I've always been trying to develop a sound that people who aren't already banjo initiates can get next to, like a warm, full, inviting sound rather than the really bright, clangy bluegrass sound. And definitely Simple Pleasures, especially in its original state, really leaned towards the bluegrassy sonic side of things. We were able to warm the banjo up and bring it kind of a little bit closer to the direction that we go now. But yeah, we've really kind of rethought over the last 30 years the way we want the banjo to sound and sit in a track. So that was very different. And compositionally, I mean, I like to think that maybe I've gotten a little bit better at, putting these things together, or at least through the process of failing on certain attempts, have figured out really what works well for the instrument and what doesn't work so well.
In addition to writing and recording, being a very working and touring musician and running the record label or helping run the record label, you also often teach, do master classes, and you're on the adjunct faculty at Vanderbilt. What do you like about passing on everything you've learned about your instrument to up and coming banjo players?
Yeah, that's something I'm really passionate about, because when I was learning to play, and this is still true in bluegrass music, it's one of the things I love the most about the community, is how giving everybody is. So I could go up to like a pro like J.D. Crowe or John Hickman or Alan Mundy or Tony Trischka, all these guys who were my heroes, and say, how did you do that lick? And every one of them would stop what they were doing and show me what they did. And so, in a way, I feel like it's a way of honoring them to continue to play the tradition forward. And that's one of the real reasons that I decided to launch a school with Artist Works last year, an online teaching school. And what's unique about Artist Works is that you can do video exchanges with the students and teachers. So a student can learn a lesson, they do a little video, send it to me, and I can critique it. So as a result, I have this like online relationship with a bunch of my students. And whenever I sit down and work my way through half a dozen videos, I always like feel so elated when I'm done. Just a really good feeling to know that this tradition that people so thoughtfully, shared with me, I'm able to pass along to other people.
Alison Brown is our guest. She's playing at the Town Crier in Beacon, New York, this Friday at 8:30 p.m. For more information, visit alisonbrown.com or towncrier.com. We've mentioned, Alison, the release, the upcoming re-release this week of Simple Pleasures, and I also briefly mentioned last year's gorgeous record on banjo. Your most recent release is a single with Steve Martin, who you've collaborated with many times. You are the co-chair of the Steve Martin Banjo Prize with him. How was this relationship formed? And tell me about the new single, and we'll share a little bit of it with listeners.
I guess I met Steve when he asked me to be on his banjo board when he started his Steve Martin Banjo Prize. That was about 15 years ago. And then as the Steep Canyon Rangers weren't able to make certain shows, the live show that Steve does with Martin Short, I'd get a chance to, come and fill in. So that's probably what really when I got a chance to start playing with Steve. And right away we discovered that three-finger banjo and his clawhammer banjo go really well together, like chocolate and peanut butter. Always been one of my favorite sounds ever since the Will the Circle Be Unbroken album, when John McEwen and Earl Scruggs did a version of Soldier's Joy together. And so when I was working on my new record, I'd done a few shows with Steve and he seemed very open. And so I wrote an A section to a tune and I texted him. I said, any chance that you would want to write a B section? And he texted me right back and said, yes, I'd love to. And within 24 hours, sent me a great B section. released Foggy Morning Breaking, that's on Banjo. We released it as a single, and it went to number one like for a couple of months on the bluegrass radio charts. And I was really surprised because that's hard for an instrumental to do. And Steve was like over the moon. So one day he emailed me lyrics to a song about having a song at number one on the bluegrass radio charts. And so that was the start of the song Bluegrass Radio.
50,000 watts of power, and they play me every hour. Paul McCartney, you can stand aside. But the bluegrass charts have picked me now. I headline hardly strictly. You can't escape my song on bluegrass radio. Number three in California, five in Arizona. Didn't seem to mean a thing to you. But I got number one in Texas, and now you fix me breakfast, because I am a hit on bluegrass radio.
That is Alison Brown with Steve Martin on their single, new single, Bluegrass Radio. You mentioned before we played that song as part of the story that you have an instrumental with Steve Martin on banjo, Foggy Morning Breaking. But this one has funny lyrics. It's a gag. It's a gas. It's great. Do you play differently, or what is different for you about playing a song, an instrumental, versus a song with lyrics, with words?
When you're playing a song that's a vocal, the instrumentalist's role, unless you're playing a solo, is really to support the vocalist. And that's a lot of fun, like finding things and lines that you can do that enhance what's happening rather than, you know, taking anything away from what the singer's doing. When it's an instrumental tune, there's a little bit more liberty. You're supporting other people only when they're playing their solos. But it's when it's a lyrical song, yeah, there's much more time that you're playing support. But I really enjoy that part. I mean, there's a real art to it. Earl Scruggs was a master at that. And banjo players who really get inside this stuff can spend hours geeking out, just like listening to how he would internalize a lyric and a melody and then just play the perfect accompaniment licks around it in the little holes and stuff like that. So it's an art. It's really fun.
You're playing the Town Crier on Friday. You're playing a few dates around that show as well. What are you concentrating on this little August tour you have coming up?
Well, we are definitely featuring music from Simple Pleasures, which has been a lot of fun to go back and like actually relearn those tunes, because most of them I haven't played in many decades. I was really glad that I wrote out a tab book to go with the music so that I could learn the stuff again. That's been actually really fun. We've just started to throw those tunes into our set list. And so that will definitely be a part of stuff too.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention, while I have you on the line, that you're a big part of the Freshgrass Festival at Massmocha every year since its inception. And this year's Freshgrass, September 20th through the 22nd at Massmocha in North Adams, Massachusetts. Are you at liberty to tell me anything you have planned for Freshgrass?
What can I tell you? Well, you're right. Freshgrass is always a highlight on our calendar, and we've been at every Freshgrass except for the very first one. So that's coming up, must be coming up towards 15 Freshgrasses. It's just like the juxtaposition of the modern art museum and roots music to me is just really magical. And it is a little bit like a family reunion for us. And one of the best things about playing festivals, and especially Freshgrass, where there's so much like musical family, is collaborating with the other musicians. So we always look for some different people who are playing the same day that we can do something special with. So to be continued.
Alison Brown, a real pleasure to speak with you and get to pick your mind about how you pick the banjo. Thank you so much for your time, and have a great run. Have a great rest of your summer, and we will hopefully talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Sarah, and thanks for all that you do for the music. We really appreciate it.
Alison Brown will play the Town Crier Cafe in Beacon, New York tomorrow night. The remixed and remastered reissue of Simple Pleasures also comes out tomorrow, August 9th. Last year's amazing album was On Banjo, and Alison Brown's new single with Steve Martin is Bluegrass Radio. Links to more information are posted along with this interview on our website, wamc.org. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.